This is the true word of God. The word of God is true. I believe what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I believe God has given us this word. I believe God has given us this book so I can live a victorious Christian life. Not just when I die, but right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to open your Bibles with me, please, to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And when you get there, say amen. Matthew chapter 11. Amen. Matthew chapter 11. When you get there, say amen. Can you turn me down some, please? It seems like I'm going up. I don't know why. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Are y'all there yet? Amen. That's good. Matthew chapter 11. I want you to look at verse number 27. Verse number 27. The Bible says, this is Jesus talking because it's in red. The Bible says in verse 27, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father but the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Oh, okay. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. And then he says in verse 28, he says, come to me, all you that are tired, fatigued, and are overburdened, and I will give you rest. I know King James says labor and heavy laden, but it means tired, fatigued, overburdened, overwhelmed, however you want to call it. Amen. He says, come to me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is what? Light. Amen. Because of the many trials, tribulations, troubles, persecutions that people go through in life, many people fail to realize that the Christian life is a life of victory. The Christian life is a life that we should be happy about, okay? The Christian life should be a life of success if we are Christians. If you're not one, you can be one today if you're streaming online. Amen. And you all have heard me say many times, according to the word, that Jesus' victory is our victory, okay? We have the victory through Christ Jesus. Amen? But although people say that our victory is in Christ Jesus, a lot of people, when they go through things in life, they don't really believe that they have the victory over everything in this world. Y'all still with me? Instead, they start acting like losers and start speaking negative words out of their mouth. Amen? They say things like, well, the Christian life is too hard. I was okay until I became a Christian. I should have stayed in Egypt. Are y'all still with me? I was better off before I became a Christian. Amen. You know, Satan's continuing to ride my back. Okay. He's continued to attack my family. He's continued to attack me and my situation, my circumstances. Hey, think it's not strange, right? We talked about that last week. Amen. Amen. Every time I take one step forward, it seems like I take two steps back. Amen. Well, how many of you know that if you are a Christian, and I know that many of you, all of you are Christians who are here, and maybe you're streaming online, if you are a Christian, amen, and you are not enjoying the Christian life, if you are not living a victorious Christian life in every area of your life, I want you to know that the problem is not the Christian life. I want you to know that the problem is you. The problem is not the Christian life. The problem is Amen. Because as far as being a Christian, okay, life is hard whether we are Christians or not. Are y'all still with me? Okay. And many times it's hard based on decisions that people make in life. Okay. So the Christian life is not a hard life. Life can be hard in general. Amen. But one of the many reasons why life seems to be so hard for some people, okay, people who call themselves Christians, is because they don't really know who Jesus is. Y'all still with me? Amen. Amen. Life can be hard for anything. It's like in school, right? Sometimes people have a hard time in school because they don't get an understanding of the schoolwork. Okay? They don't understand the schoolwork. And then when they do not make a good grade on their paper, they blame the teacher. Isn't that amazing? Amen, amen, amen. They blame the teacher. Okay? Well, in the Christian life, a lot of people have a misunderstanding of who Jesus is, and they also have a misunderstanding of who they are in Christ Jesus. And because of their misunderstanding, a lot of times when they go through trials and tribulations, they blame God instead of going to God. They blame Jesus instead of going to Jesus. Amen? How many of you know having a lack of understanding of anything in life can lead to problems? Anything. If we have a lack of anything in life, it can lead to problems in our life. Amen. Well, Pastor, I know what you're saying, but Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 tells me to not to lean to my own understanding. Well, how many of you know that you are exactly right? But Proverbs 3, 5 tells us to lean not to our own understanding, but it never tells us not to get understanding. It just tells us not to lean to our own understanding, but it never tells us not to get understanding, because the Bible tells us to get understanding. And when we do not have understanding of things that's going on in life, and we do not have understanding of Jesus, and we do not even have understanding of who we are in Christ Jesus, because of our lack of understandings, when we face these problems, persecutions, trials, tribulations, situations in life, instead of us being joyful in the Lord when we're going through these things, we start speaking negative words out of ourselves and getting down on ourselves, and things get worse and worse and worse. Are y'all still with me? Okay. The Bible tells us, go to Proverbs chapter 4. The Bible does not tell us to lean to our own understanding, but the Bible tells us to get understanding. Okay. Proverbs chapter 4. Amen. Are y'all still with me? Proverbs chapter 4. Amen. Proverbs chapter 4. It never tells us not to get understanding. In Proverbs 4, this is King Solomon talking to his children, and he's talking about a father to a child. Okay, the reason why this is in the Bible is because it pertains to us as well. If not, then it wouldn't be in here. Y'all still with me? And he says here in verse number 1, chapter 4, he said, "Hear ye children, the instruction of a father." Okay, he didn't say your father. He says a father. "And attend to know what? Understanding." And then he says, "For I give you good doctrine, forsake you not my law." He said, "For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother." And then he said, "My father," verse 4, he taught me also and said unto me, "Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live." Doesn't that sound like God? "Keep my commandments and live." And then the Bible says in verse number 5, it says, "Get what? Wisdom." Get what? Understanding. So the Bible never tells us not to get understanding. The Bible tells us to lean not to our own understanding. Y'all still with me? It says, "Get wisdom, get understanding." And then it says, "Do not forget wisdom, do not forget understanding." Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Y'all still with me? Verse 6 says, forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Then he says in verse 7, wisdom is the what? Principal thing. It says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Do y'all see that? It says, get wisdom, and with all thy getting wisdom, get understanding. So that tells me that wisdom is very important, but it also telling me that getting understanding is very important, because if we do not get understanding of the things of Jesus, the things of God, and understand who we are, when we go through trials and tribulations, we will go around saying things that people who are not saved say all the time. Well, life is hard. Life is just too hard. But once again, it may be hard, but we still have the victory over it. Y'all still with me? We need to understand the fact that we're in spiritual warfare. I've mentioned it a million times. We engage in spiritual warfare, and sometimes we're going to go through trials and tribulations. But as long as we got King Jesus, as long as we continue to focus on him, we will always come out on top no matter what. Why? Because our victory is in Jesus by way of the resurrection. Are y'all still with me? Amen, amen, amen. Now, I want to mention something here about this word wisdom. Because if you look up this word wisdom in the Hebrew, you will see a word that says C-H-O-K-M-A-H, chokmah. Y'all still with me? And what that means is that, you know, by getting wisdom, what it means is that to be able to see things from God's perspective, to be able to see things from God's perspective. Y'all still with me? Not our own perspective. That's why the Bible says, lean not to your own understanding. Because when we try to understand things, we would try to see them from our own perspective instead of God's perspective. Y'all still with me? So it says, it means to be able to see things from God's perspective. That's why wisdom is so important. Amen? Amen. In other words, another definition for that word chokmah means to be wise, to be intelligent, to act wise, to act intelligent. Are y'all still with me? Now, I want to submit to you all something that you probably already know. There are two kinds of wisdoms. There's earthly wisdom, and there is heavenly wisdom. And when the Bible says get wisdom, it's not necessarily talking about earthly wisdom, because the most important thing that a Christian can have is spiritual or heavenly wisdom. Y'all still with me? The kind of wisdom that's from above. Amen. So the Bible says get wisdom, get understanding. Amen. And the Bible tells us in James chapter 1, how to get that wisdom. The Bible says, if any man lacketh wisdom, let him do what? Ask of the Lord, who gives it to him liberally. In other words, he don't hold the sin against him. He just gives him wisdom. Why? Because God wants us to see things from his perspective. His perspective, when we are going through trials and tribulations, situations and circumstances, problems or whatever, from his perspective, he knows that as long as we stay connected to Jesus, we will always win. And he wants us to know that we will always win. That's why he wants us to see things from his perspective. But when we start looking at them from our own perspective, you know, Satan starts turning up the heat. You know, we start singing songs like nobody know the trouble I've seen. Are y'all still with me? But we have to get wisdom. We have to get understanding, because a lot of people are being destroyed in this Christian life because of their lack of understanding of who Jesus is and of who they are in Christ Jesus. Are y'all still with me? Amen, amen, amen. I want you to go to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. Because I mentioned earlier that the Bible tells us if any man lacketh wisdom, let him ask of the Lord, okay? So they can be able to see things from God's perspective. And because if we don't know something, we have to ask God. And we ask in prayer. James chapter 3. Now, where I'm going to get back to Jesus in a minute, but well, you know, I got to lay this foundation. James 3. Look at what the Bible says here in James chapter 3. See? It says in verse 13, chapter 3, it says, who is a wise man and endureth with knowledge among you? He says, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Do y'all see that? The word wisdom again. And then look at what he said here. He said here, but if you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. Because some people think they because they're book smart, they think they're smarter than everyone else. And they give themselves glory, they give themselves pats on the back because I'm smarter than you are. But look at what the Bible says here. He says, this wisdom that causes people to envy and strife in their hearts, this wisdom descending not from above. Y'all still with me? That kind of wisdom don't come from God. This wisdom descending not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Anything that got devil in it, I don't know. Hey, man, we was talking last week about those. Me and somebody was talking. Somebody was talking about those deviled eggs. Amen. I'm just going to start calling them eggs with mustard and stuff on them. Amen. He says, verse 16 says, for where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Talking about this earthly wisdom. Okay, people walking around think they're better than everybody else. They think I'm more wiser than you are. But how many of you know when it comes to spiritual warfare, that earthly wisdom can't do nothing for us? But then the Bible talks about the wisdom from above. Look at verse 17. It says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of the right of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So the wisdom from above brings peace, even in a tough situation. Y'all still with me? Because the wisdom from above helps us to be able to see things from God's perspective. And in God's perspective, we will always come out on top if we follow Jesus. And we'll get back to Jesus in a minute. Are y'all still with me? Amen. See, the wisdom we need when going through something is not this earthly wisdom. It is spiritual, heavenly wisdom from above. Not earthly, but heavenly. It's okay to have earthly wisdom. I'm not saying anything about earthly wisdom. But when you're going through things in life, that earthly wisdom is not going to do you any good. Why? Because once again, we will start leaning to our own understanding. Well, I'm smart. I know how to handle this situation. I know I can figure it out. No, you can't. Because it is spiritual. And there are demonic forces that Satan is using to try to take us out by any means necessary. So that kind of wisdom won't work. But godly wisdom will work. Because godly wisdom, once again, will allow us to see things from God's perspective. And when we see things from God's perspective, we know we'll always come out on top. We just got to be patient. We just have to put faith to work. Are y'all still with me? We got to put it to work. Amen. See? And see, the wisdom we need is from above. The understanding we need is to understand the fact that when Jesus says he will do something, he will do it. No matter what.
Well, Pastor, how can you say that? Because he's already done it. He's seated on the right hand side of the Father. If he did not complete his mission on earth, he would still be here. But he's seated on the right hand side of the Father. Now he's represented here on earth by the Holy Spirit. But Jesus himself is sitting on the right hand side of the Father, which means he has accomplished everything that God sent him here to accomplish. Until he come back to get me. And I hope he gets you too. Are y'all still with me? Amen, amen, amen. So if Jesus said he would do something, he would do everything that he said he's going to do. All we need to do is to call on him or come to him, as he just told us in Matthew chapter 11. Look at Matthew chapter 11 again. Let's go back to it. Let's look at what Jesus said. Going back to Jesus, Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. This is Jesus talking. Y'all still with me? He said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 again, he said, come unto me. Do y'all see that? All you, not leaving anyone out. Come unto me, all you who are tired, fatigued, labor, that's what it means, and heavy laden or overburdened. And he said, I will give you rest. That word rest means I will refresh you. If you're looking for a title for this morning's message, it's called Refreshings from Above. Refreshings from above. See, you know, sometimes when it's hot outside, well, I mean, yesterday it was like 93 degrees, amen. It's hot outside, and sometimes it'll rain a little bit. And then, you know, when it's raining, you know, if you're outside, you were hot, all of a sudden, you know how the rain just refreshes you. It kind of cools you off. But I mean, you know, when it stopped raining, the sun get upset and it shined brighter than it did before the rain came. To remove your refreshing. Y'all still with me? But how many of you know when God refreshes you, ain't no mountain high enough, ain't no river wide enough, ain't no valley low enough to remove his refreshing. Y'all still with me? So Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. Notice what he did not say. He did not say, go to your best friend. He did not say, ask your neighbor. He said, come to me, and I will give you rest. Are y'all still with me? He said, come to me, and I will give you rest. Well, that tells me some things right there. See, when we read one little line in the Bible, and when we do not rush, it tells us a lot of things. Jesus said, when you're tired, when you're weary, when you're overburdened, when you're going through the trials, you're going through the tribulations, it seems like things trying to get the best of you. It seems like you're losing when you should be winning. He said, when you're going through those things, come to me and I will give you refreshing or rest. So I used to run a lot. I used to be a marathon runner. I used to run all, you know, and I used to be so glad when that race was over. Because I get a chance to refresh. Y'all still with me? He said, I will give you rest. After all the heat, after all the heat that Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego faced in the fiery furnace, when Satan was turning the heat off, when it was all over, God gave them rest. And how many of you know, it doesn't matter how heated your situation may get, just like he did it for the Hebrew boys, he'll do it for you. Are y'all still with me? But you got to go to Jesus to get it. You can't go to Walmart. HEB can't help you either. He says, come to me. So that tells me something. That tells me something here. It tells me when I'm going through mental tiredness, when I'm going through physical tiredness, when I'm tired, when I'm overburdened, when I'm fatigued mentally, spiritually, when I'm dealing with emotionally, when I'm dealing with those things, that tells me that those things did not come from God. They didn't come from God. See? They came from the enemy. In many times, many ways, we help the enemy because we tell him things out of our mouth. Every year about this time, I get sick. Guess what? It's that same year, that time, you're going to get sick. Why? Because you said it out of your mouth. I told us on Wednesday, I believe it was Wednesday, maybe this past Wednesday or last Wednesday, last Sunday, I said, we can't speak nothing. People say, don't speak it into existence. No, you're not speaking it into existence. It already exists. But what we do is that we speak negative things into our life, the things that already exist. Y'all still with me? You know, but we tell Satan. And he'd be like, okay, sickness, come here. Come on, I got to send you. You know you got to be on time. Are y'all still with me? So this stuff is not coming from Jesus. But see, because people do not have an understanding of what Jesus is saying, they don't have an understanding of who Jesus is. They don't have an understanding of who they are in Christ Jesus. They say things out of their mouth that don't make sense. You know, they go through these situations and they say, I don't know why God put me through this. What did I do to deserve this? God didn't put it on you. God did not come to put misery on us. He sent Jesus to take misery from us. Y'all still with me? But people say those things. Why? Because they don't have an understanding of the Word of God. Okay? And some people even accept those things, misery, tiredness, being overburdened. They accept those things as being God's work. And they say dumb things out of their mouth. Well, you know, I'm really tired. I'm overburdened, worried. But I know God put that on me because I've been running so much, He want me to get some rest. So He made me tired. What? He allowed that person to attack me because he wanted to slow me down. I mean, I heard people... Just recently, I heard a Christian say something that stupid. I didn't tell them they were stupid because I ain't going to do that to them. But yeah, they say stuff like that. God is trying to slow me down. I've been running, so He made me be sick just for a few days. What? I'm telling you, people say that. Listen to what people say. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the mouth, abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. They're not going to say it in church because they're too holy in church. But you catch them out there on a Thursday. I know God's trying to slow me down. If God wants to slow you down, He'll just sit you down. He won't put anything on you. But people think it's God's work. That's not God's work. I'm going to show you what God sent Jesus to do, what Jesus' work is in a few minutes. Are y'all still with me? They accept it. And they say this, and y'all know what I'm getting ready to say. Well, you know, life is hard. I'm going through this. But one thing I know. Y'all know what I'm saying? The Lord ain't going to put no more on me than I can bear. God's not putting nothing on you. He's not putting no bear on us. He's not doing that. That's not God's work. That's the work of the enemy. And I told you earlier, I told me, because the word's for me too, we say things because we don't have an understanding of who God is, who Jesus is, and who we are in Christ Jesus. And that's why Christians are going through life miserable in many areas. And they're trying to bring other Christians down with them. Why? Because misery loves company. They're going around with their sad sack, their sad, you know, and we just have to pray for them, and they're trying to bring you in. You know, I'm going through this. I did it. I just don't know where God's doing this. You know, I'm just going through, but I'm just going to hold on. Hold on to what? They've already let go of God. Well, they're going to hold on to the situation they're going through. I'm just going to hold on. So just do me a favor. Just pray my strength in the Lord. Now, the Bible says the Lord is already your strength. We have to connect to the strength. Are y'all still with me? Well, you probably said, well, Pastor, you shouldn't say that because people just don't know no better. Why not? Everything we need is found in the Word. But I tell you why not. The reason why people don't know better is because they've been in church too long. They spend more time with church and less time with Jesus. See? Yeah, we need to be in church, but Jesus needs to be first. Not the church, but Jesus. But they listen to church talk, religious people. They say all kinds of stuff because it sounds religious. And how many of you know Christianity, if you think about it, is not a religion. Christianity is a lifestyle. Following the life of Christ, the anointed one. Y'all still with me? So we bring things on ourselves due to the lack of understanding. That's why the Bible says, get wisdom, get understanding, and forget it not. We can never forget who God is. We can never forget who Jesus is. Y'all still with me? But people say stuff like that all the time. He don't put no more on me than I can bear. And they accept it because they think he put it on me. It's not scriptural. Nowhere is it found in this word that God, the Bible says, God is not going to put no more on you than you can bear. It's not in the word. Well, let me rephrase that. It might be in your Bible, but it's not in mine. Are y'all still with me? Jesus said that he is the one who's given the rest, not the stress. He's not given the tiredness. He's not given the overburden. He's not given all that stuff. He's given the rest or the refreshing. But he tells us to come to him. And once again, when Jesus is talking about refreshing, he's talking about mental refreshing. How many know your mind needs to be refreshed sometimes? Because Satan tries to clog it up with a lot of junk. Because the mind is the battleground for the Christians with Satan. He attacks us in the mind. Same way he attacked Eve in the garden. That's another story. Don't worry about it. We'll get to it some other time. Amen. Don't worry about it. But Jesus said, come to me. Look at what else he said here. He said in verse number 29, do y'all see that? He said, take my what? Yoke upon you and learn of me. So he said, take my yoke. Now, I want to give you in the past I would show a photo up here, but I'm not going to do it this time. But let's talk about yoke. First of all, before I talk about a yoke, I want us to know that there are two kinds of yokes. There is a yoke of bondage, and there is a yoke of freedom. Are y'all still with me? There's a yoke of bondage and a yoke of freedom. Now let's talk about a yoke in the natural. A yoke was one of those, they used to put a wooden stick. They used to put it on oxen when they plowed the field. Y'all familiar with that? And they would have this long a wooden beam, you know, attached to two oxen. And the reason why they had it is because the farmer, whoever was plowing, he could direct them anywhere that he wanted them to go. In other words, they were together. They were yoked together. Y'all still with me? They were yoked together. And I'm talking about this was a bondage yoke. I mean, as big as that oxen is, he could not break that yoke. Where the left one went, the right one had to go also. Are y'all still with me? Well, see, what Satan tries to do is put a spiritual yoke around our neck to connect us to him so we can be miserable. That's what he does. But Jesus here is talking about another yoke. He said, take my yoke. Now notice what he did not say. He did not say take the other yoke. Because Satan's yoke is the yoke that makes us tired, weary, overburdened, disgusted, stressed, oppressed, sad. That's Satan's yoke. The yoke of bondage. But Jesus' yoke is the yoke of freedom. He says, take my yoke. See? In other words, Jesus is not talking about being in bondage. He said, when you take my yoke, you are connected to me. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to guide you. He said, take my yoke. Not the other one. He said, take my yoke. Because my yoke is what? Easy. And my burden is what? Light. Well, that tells me the other yoke is not easy. And the burden is not light. It is heavy. And some people walk around with heavy yokes on, stressed out. Why? Because they are going through a situation that's getting the best of them, and they think God put it on them, and they are miserable. And listen, they can't even lift their heads up. They're walking around like they have the natural wooden yoke around their neck. Have you ever seen an oxen with yokes? Put it up on the internet. Y'all know how to go. Y'all don't do it. Those oxen look sad. Head down. That's what a lot of Christians walk around doing. I'm a child of the king. What king? Which one? Because you're a child of the king, you should be walking around with your head down. We should be looking to the hills. Where our help comes from. Y'all still with me? So Jesus said, take my yoke. And then he said something else that's very important. That's why we shouldn't read the Bible too fast. He said, take my yoke and do what? Learn of me. And that's the problem right there. That's the problem. Many people do not have an understanding of who Jesus is because they've never studied his life. They never learned about him. They know of him. They heard about him. But they haven't spent time getting to know who he is and what he is to them. Are y'all still with me? He says, take my yoke and learn of me. The only way that we would know for sure if Jesus' yoke is easy and his burden is light, the only way we would know for sure is that we must know something about him. Amen, son. Yeah, amen. You train him well. He's lifting his hands up to the Lord. Amen. Amen. Are y'all still with me? We have to know something about his life. The way people know you, they need to know something about your life. Whether they can trust you or not. Whether they can trust me or not. But instead of people getting to know him, instead of people getting to learn about him, they are making their life miserable. Why? Because they are trying to figure things out for themselves. Instead of calling on the one who can give them refreshing, they're trying to figure it out themselves. Y'all still with me? And look at what else Jesus said here. He said here, once again, in verse 29, he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He says, for I am meek, gentle, and humble in my heart, and you shall find rest refreshing in your souls. Don't you know, if you look up that word souls in the Greek, because it's in the New Testament, it means your inner self. It means your life, yourself. In other words, your entire body, your entire situation, mentally, physically, and spiritually. That's what it means. You will find rest in your soul, in your complete self. He said, if you take my yoke. Now he said, if you take the other one, then you're on your own. But if you take mine, you will be refreshed in every area of your life. And we don't have to stay in the bed all day long. We can get up. You know, people go through trials and tribulations, they get depressed, and it's sad. And they don't even open the blinds up. Because they don't want the light to shine through. You need to open the blinds up spiritually. And the way we do that is we need to connect to Jesus. Regardless of how the situation, regardless of what Satan tried to put into our life, because see, Christians, we must understand this thing, this about God. God knew that we would face problems in this world when he created us. He knew it all along. He knew when we go through situations and circumstances. He knows everything. That's one of the reasons why he sent Jesus, to free us. Because the Bible tells us when the Son shall set free, he's free indeed. So Jesus came to free us from the yokes of bondage. I want you to go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John, I want to show it to you. 1 John chapter 3. That's one of the reasons why Jesus came. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. God knew he was going to go through some things. And he sent Jesus for us. All we have to do is just do what Jesus tells us to do. So we can see things from God's perspective. Are y'all still with me? I said 1 John, didn't I? So 1 John here, chapter 3. I want you to look at verse number 4. Let's just start there. Verse 4. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Look at what Jesus said here. I mean, look at what John said here. He said, whosoever committed sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Verse 5, he says, and you know that he was manifested, talking about Jesus, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. That's why he says, come to me. And then verse 6 says, whosoever abided in him sinned not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Verse 7 says, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. And then verse number 8 says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. Y'all see that? And the Bible says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested. Who's the Son of God? For this purpose the Son of God was manifested. Okay? He came to the world for this purpose. Now, look at the purpose. He said, for this purpose, he says, so that he might do what? Destroy. Verse 8, destroy the works of the devil. Do y'all see that? So Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Now that tells me that the devil have works. Because if the devil did not have works, Jesus would not have come to destroy some works that did not exist. Well, we know the works of the devil. The Bible tells us in John chapter 10 that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Now, I've told us many times that the Bible, the original manuscripts, were not written in English. They were written in Aramaic, the language Jesus spoke,
Hebrew, and Greek. And all of these translations are translations of Arabic, Hebrew, and Greek. Are y'all still with me? That's very important to know. Because the reason why I say that is some words in here don't mean the same thing that they mean to us in English. And one of those words that I'm talking about is the word destroy. Because when we hear the word destroy, we think about tearing stuff up. Are y'all still with me? But that's not what that word means right there. That's why we have to study the word. Are y'all still with me? So he said, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Well, in the Greek, that word comes from a word, that word destroy comes from a word that means L-U-O, luo. And that word luo means to release us and to set us free from the works of the devil. Y'all still with me? Loose us and set us free. That's what the Bible tells us, Christians. That's what the Bible tells us in John chapter 8, verse 36. That's what the Bible tells us. You know, we quote the scripture many times, but that's why the Bible says, who the Son shall set free is free indeed. Well, put in parentheses, who the Son shall set free from Satan is free indeed. If Jesus came to set us free from the works of Satan, there's nothing wrong with adding that in there because it makes us understand it. That's why the Bible tells us, Christians, it tells us to submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will do what? Flee from you. See, he's not fleeing from you. He's fleeing from that word. He's fleeing from God. Why? Because you submitted yourself to him. But what happens is that we don't submit ourselves to God. We just try to get him to flee. Now, Satan, you need to flee. Now, Satan's like, I ain't going nowhere. He know who God is. And he know who we are. It's like the seven, you remember the seven sons of Sceva in the Bible. Trying to cast out some demons. We command you to go, like Jesus. They said, what? They said, Jesus, we know. Paul, we know. But who are you? Are we trying to deal with him without Jesus? Jesus is the one that defeated him on the cross of Calvary, not us. Don't let our wisdom, worldly wisdom, and our understanding think we can overcome the spiritual warfare, because we can't. He said, Jesus came. So listen to this. Jesus is not making you tired. Jesus is not making us overburdened. Jesus is not making us weary. Jesus is not bringing the stress. The enemy, Satan, is. He's doing those things. He's riding on our back. Jesus is bringing the refreshing. That's why he said, come to me, and I will take care of you. In other words, I will deal with the works of Satan. I will do it. But many people do not call on him. They don't call on Jesus because they see him as a church Jesus instead of Jesus. They don't know anything about him. You know, that reminds me of myself when I got saved. I heard about Jesus. You know, they told me that he was Mary's little boy. They told me that Joseph was his dad. They told me that he was born in a manger because there's no room in the inn. They told me he was crucified on the cross. Yeah. But I didn't have a personal relationship with him. I knew him from the church. And a lot of people know him from church. But they don't have a personal relationship with him. Are y'all still with me? So they really don't know who he is. Like I didn't. I'm talking about me. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. I didn't. But after I rededicated my life back to Jesus, I realized that all of those years in church, I had been hoodwinked. Because there's much more to Jesus than just dying on the cross. It's much more to Jesus that was born in a manger because there was no room in the inn. It's much more to Jesus than being Mary's little boy and Joseph's son. It's much more to him than that. But a lot of Christians only know him as that. And that's why they're having a hard time in life. Are y'all still with me? Because they don't take time to learn of him. But when I started learning about Jesus, the more I learned about him, the more I started trusting him. The more I started trusting in him, the more I recognized that he was working for me, God working in us to keep us refreshed. See, I didn't know that. Nobody told me that. Y'all still with me? I realized that more and more and more, I realized that Jesus Christ is the one. It's not about me, it's about him. And if I want to be successful in this life, if I want to be victorious, I need to go to Jesus, not just one time, but every time I'm going through a situation and circumstance. I started learning more about him, not just about Mary's boy, not about Joseph, but I started to learn about him and God, God's will, his ways, how he operated, and his mindset. And I realized that his ways are above my ways and his thoughts are above my thoughts. And I realized then when I'm going through trials and tribulations, instead of me trying to figure it out for myself, I'm just going to do what the Bible tells me to do. I'm going to come to Jesus so I can get rest. I go through things too. Don't think everything is always bright for me. I'm a human being like you all are. But I know where my help comes from. And I believe you know as well. I realized that the Christian life was more than just coming to church on Sunday or Wednesday. Because Satan go to church too. Did y'all know that? I learned that in order to, that the purpose of Jesus was not just to be born in the manger, but for me to be able to live a victorious Christian life, not just when I die, but right now. And I learned to show the goodness of Jesus to everyone else that I come in contact with. That's why God helped me up here right now. Because I realized it wasn't about me, it's about him, and I need to be obedient to him to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to the people. Are y'all still with me? Because he's bigger than I am. Once I develop a personal relationship with Jesus, not church, but Jesus, my life has never been the same. I still get attacked by the enemy. But guess what? I always win. Not because of me, but because of him. Are y'all still with me? See, to experience victory in your life every day, in every situation, we must learn of Jesus. Because if we don't know about him, we won't go to him. You know, I wrote this down last night when I was doing this. Don't you know that your success in life or lack of success in life is based on your view of who Jesus is? Our success in life or lack of success is based on our view of who Jesus is. Is he the baby born in the manger to us? Is he the one that was on the cross? And people still wear him on the cross with their necklace today. I ain't talking about nobody's necklace. Y'all still with me? He's not on the cross anymore. He's not a baby in the manger anymore. I mean, if you want to see him, just get across with someone sitting in a chair and he's sitting beside him. Because the Bible says he's seated on the right-hand side of the Father. Not on the cross. Are y'all still with me? See that cross? A lot of people died on the cross. Anyway, moving on. Amen, amen, amen.
If you and I view Jesus for who he is, we will always come out on top. But if we view him in any other way other than who he is, we will always be miserable. We'll always be walking around with a yoke of bondage around our necks. Always be sad. Always be complaining. Always being miserable and trying to get everybody else in your misery. And we don't know who he is. Because Satan don't want us to know who he is. He don't want us to know. He want to keep us blinded. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, if the gospel be hid, it is hid to those who are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded their minds, lest the glorious light of the gospel of Christ should shine upon them. Y'all still with me? So we now have to know who he is. So the question is, I'm almost done for today. The question is not who he is to someone else. The question is, who is he to you? That's the question. Who is he to you? Is he just Mary's boy? Joseph's son? The baby in the manger? The church Jesus? I mean, who is he? Because whoever he is to us and to you will decide whether you're victorious in his life or not. Now, God made you victorious, but whether you accept it or not. Are y'all still with me? I want to show you a quick scripture. I got about 4 minutes left, and then I'm going to be done for today. I'm going to be done for today. I was going to say I can be back next week, but he's teaching next week. Amen. I already promised him. Amen. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16. I'm almost done. Matthew 16. So Matthew 16, Jesus is sitting here with the disciples. And he wanted to find out if they knew who he was. Are y'all still with me? And the Bible tells us, we go to verse 13 for the second time. The Bible says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of God, Son of Man, am? No, he didn't say the Son of God. He said the Son of Man. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, that's why you got to be careful about what they say. They said, well, Jesus, some say that you are John the Baptist. Some say you are Elijah the prophet. And others say that you are Jeremiah or one of the prophets. I mean, they didn't know who he was. So by not knowing, they degraded him. They degraded him. And then the Bible says, verse 15. He said it to them, but whom say you that I am? He said, I don't care what other people say. What do you say? Well, as Christians, how many of you know is what you say he is that's going to determine whether or not you go to him? He said, well, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, Peter, you don't want to cut the man's ear off? Peter answered and said, thou art the what? Notice I said what? He's the Christ. Because Christ wasn't his name. His name is Jesus. But he is the Christ. Y'all still with me? What's Jesus' last name? Christ? No, it's not. Christ is who he is. Said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Son of the Creator of the heavens and earth. That's who he is. And Jesus said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Notice he didn't call him Peter. He called him Simon Bar-Jonah. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, because that was his name. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, who Jesus is. What flesh and blood? He said, but my Father which is in heaven revealed it to you. And he says, and I say unto thee that thou art who? Peter. Notice he didn't call him by Jonah no more. Thou art Peter. And he says, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, because I'm building on a rock. Now, Christians, Jesus was not talking about no rock that he had his foot on. We know he is the rock, but that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about Peter, because Peter in Greek means rock. Did you know that? He said, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Why did he say that? Because Peter knew who he was. He knew that, no, you're not just Jeremiah, one of the other prophets. You are the Christ. Christians, that word Christ means the anointed one. The anointed one. And don't you know the anointing is the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God? That's why Jesus says, come to me, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He can remove that yoke. And I'm going to close with this. And I'll teach this in another lesson in the future. Don't you know that Jesus said to Peter, because you know, through divine revelation, God had to reveal it to you, because the anointing works through divine revelation. It is the divine power of God. He said, Peter, on this rock I'll build my church. And then he says, Peter, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you bind loose in earth shall be loose in heaven. Now, I know in Matthew 18:18, he said it for all Christians. But in this particular instance, he's talking about Peter. Now, I can't go there for the second time. Let me tell you how true Jesus' word is. Go ahead and stand to your feet. I'm closing. In Acts chapter 2, when they experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can read it when you get home. They was talking about men were drunk with wine and all this stuff, because they know they had a lot of drunkards in the place. They were celebrating the Passover. Okay? They were celebrating Pentecost, which was 50 days after the Passover. And when they started talking, the first person who got up and told them, no, these men are not drunk. You know who that was? Peter. Through his testimony of Jesus Christ, people got saved. That opened the door for Christianity, for all those people to get saved. It started right there in the book of John. The anointed one, the power of God. That's why we go to Jesus. But if we do not know that the anointing is the burden removing. Remember Jesus said, all you who are heavy laden, overburdened, take my yoke. Burden removing, yoke destroyed, soaring power of God is the anointing. Jesus is the anointed one. That's why we go to him. Go to him for everything. Because we're going to get tired in this life. We're going to get weary. We're going to go through. That doesn't mean we don't have the victory. It just means we're going through situations and circumstances at that time. But instead of people going to Jesus, they run from Jesus. You can see it in churches all over the world. They go to church, they start going through something, they stop coming to church. For what? That's what Satan wants people to do. He don't want them to get the word. I ain't going back. I'm staying home. But that's what he wants you to do. He's playing right into his hands. But we come to church to get the word. Because Satan can do a lot of things. But one thing he cannot do is go against the word. I'm here to tell you. No matter what you're going through in life, or you've been through, or you may be facing, something might be coming up on the horizon. Don't let Satan steal your joy. Don't let Satan steal your joy. The Bible says let patience have a perfect work. The Bible says count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. Knowing this. The knowing this is what you count joy, not the temptation. There's no joy in temptation. Say the trying of your faith worketh patience. Put your faith to work and trust in God. And when you do that, you'll always come out on top. Because all this stuff is not coming from God, it's coming from the enemy. And the Bible says Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Come to me, says Jesus, and I will give you rest. Can't get it from anyone else. We're going through situations, we need refreshings from above. Amen. Somebody give God a hand praise because he's good. Hallelujah.